All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I am so excited to be opening our new series, Just Saying. I actually think it is very fitting for us to commence on a journey about improving our words immediately following a series on marriage and relationships. What destroys a marriage faster than anything? Your words. What do? To relationships? We tear them down with our words. You know, it's funny that, well, it's unfortunate that the people we love the most are the people we hurt the most with our words. So today we are going to talk about words. Words have immeasurable significance. God, He created the universe with a word. Think of this. Jesus, He healed the sick. He cast out demons with a word. Rulers and politicians, their careers have risen or fallen on words. I know when I say politicians and words, you probably, if you come to mind, like, bless poor little Rick Perry's heart. If he could just, he would do way better, right? Words, usually said on the fly. Well, I also thought of this other person, Paula Deen. I got a picture up here for you. I don't really know the whole story, but apparently about 20 some odd years ago, she used some offensive words. Well, recently she admitted to that. Well, I say recent, maybe in the past year or so. She admitted to doing that. And in a tearful apology, she said she wished she had never said those words. But you know what? The media and individuals, we have not forgiven her for those words, and we certainly have not forgotten. I read something that in the first little bit that it came out, like in the first 3 weeks that it came out, she lost more money in deals than most of us make in a lifetime. Wow. Yeah, I bet she wishes she could take back those words. But forever, they're out there. Forever, her reputation is scarred because of words. So words are not forgotten. Our main text for this series is going to be James. But I have to be honest with you and let you know, we're going to go through a lot of different scripture verses. Usually we take like one little piece of scripture and we go through it bit by bit and piece by piece because that offers clarity and understanding to us. But the scriptures have so much to say about our words that I think we'd be amiss if we didn't pull in some of these other scripture verses. So hopefully we have all of them there for you in the notes. But specifically, we're going to find our theme in James, in the book of James. So James, who is, that's the name of the author as well as the name of the book, he's the brother of Jesus. Listen to what he says in James 1, 19 and 26. My dear brothers, take note of this. Okay, that's like pastor's version of capture this. So when he says capture this, like take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. That's pretty heavy. Overall, our point for today is slow to speak. That's a tough one. Slow to speak. One philosopher said this, the tongue is like a sharp knife. It kills without drawing blood. That reminds me of a scripture. Though that philosopher is not a Christian, it certainly mirrors Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Another Greek philosopher said this, and I happen to love the saying, I think the first virtue is to restrain the tongue. The first virtue. He approaches nearest to God who knows how to be silent even though he is in the right. That's the kicker. even though he's in the right. That it takes the power of the gods to keep your mouth shut. Amen to that. Yes, supernatural powers are necessary. So I know you'll be like really super surprised to hear this, but when I was younger, I had the spiritual gift of the sassy mouth. I know you're shocked. You're shocked. I diligently perfected this gift through my teenage years. I worked very hard to have the sassy mouth be strong and be heard. And then I got saved. And sadly, I'll have to admit to you, not just a whole lot changed. I still had a sharp tongue and sharp words. And it really wasn't until different godly mentors began to point it out to me and say, hey, you know, you're really sharp with those words. And I thought, what? I'm sorry if you can't handle the truth. Maybe you just need to get some thicker skin. You know, buck up. I'm not going to just pansy around things. I'm going to tell the truth. And you should just be able to handle that. But then over time, I realized I needed a change. God began to work on me. Now, pastor, on the other hand, I'm sure the sassy mouth was in there, but it wasn't allowed in his home. His home was a very sweet-talking, loving, kind environment. And there were a lot of words in his house that weren't permitted, such as the title of this sermon was not permitted in his house. And so he had the privilege of having his mouth washed out with soap. Have any of you ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Oh, we have some. We have some. Okay, I never have. So we were all just sassy at the house, so nobody had their mouth washed out for it. Well, the funny part, well, several funny parts to this story. The word that Pastor said was but. Right. Yeah, I would have had to stay in the shower with the soap in the mouth if that was not permitted at our house. But nevertheless, his sister tattled on him and told his mama, and his mama said, Michael, you go wash your mouth out with soap. Now, the funny thing is, an hour later, he was walking around like this. His mom's like, what's wrong, Michael? And he's like, And she said, son, you're supposed to wash it out, like get it out. Well, he didn't know that part, and so he quickly went and washed his mouth out quickly. I would say I probably needed my mouth washed out with soap, but in my house, it was kind of almost like a cool thing or a cute thing that we had sharp tongues and that we could kind of bar back and forth. And you know what? That's fun for a little while. But where does that lead? What's really going on there? So let's look at this process and talk about step one of this process of taming the tongue. Well, the first thing is you must acknowledge that there's an issue. If you don't know there's an issue, then you really can't go anywhere. Listen to what James 3:5 says. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Consider this point with me. Be careful with your words, because once they are said, they can only be forgiven, not forgotten. That's heavy. Your words can never be forgotten. Now God, he forgives and he forgets. But humans, we don't have the capacity to forget. Those words are always there. Proverbs 10:19 says this, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. That's weighty, that if we can restrain our lips, we can prevent a world of hurt. Consider this. If you are right, but you are rude, then you are wrong. Right plus rude equals wrong. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow in a way, because many of us think that if we're right, then we have the right to speak up, to say it. But that's not true. If you're rude, then you're wrong. No matter if the point you made was right, you are still wrong. So the way I see it, this whole acknowledgement manifests itself in three ways. And you might be one of these ways, you might be all of these ways, or you might just be so wonderful and guard your mouth all the time and you're none of these ways. But the first one is, you're just a sassy mouth. Now, I'm sorry that's not like a better point and it doesn't rhyme with anything or whatever, but I didn't know any other way to say it. You're just a smart mouth. It is what it is, right? Look at Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So in other words, if you keep your smart mouth shut, you will actually seem smart. Wow. Number two, you have bad timing. You have bad timing with your words. Look at Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 7. There is a time for everything, a time to be silent and a time to speak. So today we're talking about that time to be silent. But it should be said there are times when you should speak, and we're going to talk about that later on in the series. But today we're going to focus on that time to be silent. The third issue is that you're just oblivious to other people's feelings or personality. I guess you could say you maybe don't even care, but you're just oblivious. Oh, well, they just need to buck up. They need to get with it, like I said earlier. So now we have all these different issues, but what do we do about it? Well, we need to make it right. And probably the first thing you think of when I say make it right is you think, well, I probably need to apologize. And that might be true. There may be people that you need to go to and, man, I have just let my mouth get away from me. And I am so sorry. And I'm going to work on that. And I think people, for the most part, can respect that and receive that. But really, our first point, we're going to have two points in this. And the first one is you got to develop discipline. And that's not really pretty. That just is what it is. You've got to be a person of self-control. When I first started realizing I had a smart mouth, I thought, well, it's not as bad as my mentors are saying. They're just overly sensitive, right? So I decided to get this spiral notebook, the one that had the spirals at the top, you know. And I told a few of my friends and people I was with that I was going to write down every time I was kind of sassy or made a smart remark. And if they could just help me to go, hey, you were just sassy, and we'll jot it down. Oh, my goodness. By 3 p.m., I was like, this is not going very well. I have a couple of pages in my spiral notebook of smart mouth. So that helped me develop some discipline because I began to see, oh, wait, maybe that doesn't need to be said. So just be self-aware, pay attention. And then the second thing, which is really more where I want us to land this morning, and the thing that I really think God is speaking to us, is that we must have a change in our hearts. That's really the bottom line. The truth is, it's all about your heart. No matter how much resolve you have to shut your mouth, it will never happen with just sheer discipline. Your heart has to change. Really, the heart, it's the foundation for this entire series. Because your heart needs to be right in order to know how to shut up, show up, and speak up. See, to do those things properly, we have to be in full alignment with Jesus. Our heart has to be in line with his. Look at Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Think about the last time you were in an argument with your spouse. Was your heart righteous enough to pause and ponder what needed to be said? Maybe, but more likely you just spewed out words. You spewed out your agenda, what you were trying to get across, your point, maybe even your defense. And those words can never be taken back. They can never be undone. And a lot of times we don't even really mean what we say. Or maybe it just didn't need to be said at all. Jesus himself actually speaks directly to this matter in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 37. For out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on that day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Why is that? Because your words tell what's in your heart. They show what's in your heart. Let's look back for a minute at James. James, what is so awesome about him in this book here is that he's actually spelling out for us these words of Jesus. He's getting very specific for us so we can understand what's going on. He's presenting to us the case that the matter of the tongue is actually a testament of your faith. He's showing us that your speech demonstrates what actually took place in your heart, and that the tongue is the most telling thing on your relationship with Jesus. So watch this. James is being led by the Holy Spirit throughout his book to give us what it looks like to have your life transformed by Christ. So if you'll bear with me for a minute, this is the part I love, because I like to take the scripture and I like to go piece by piece through it and kind of tear it down. So if we could do kind of a quick book study of James together, we can kind of get a glimpse of what he's telling us throughout this. He's saying, if you had a changed heart, when you received Jesus, if it was for real, multiple things are going to happen in your life. The first thing that he presents to us is that when you face trials, you're going to persevere. What does he say? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kind, because the testing of your faith, it develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so you can be blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we're going to persevere under trial if our faith was for real. The second thing that he tells us is that we're not going to doubt. When we ask, we will not doubt. We won't be like a wave of a sea blown back and forth. We'll be strong. Another thing he says is that when we face temptation, we will overcome. That's a direct reflection of what happened to our heart. He moves on in the next chapter and he says, if your faith is for real, it's going to show in your obedience to Scripture. Another place that it's going to show is how you treat widows and how you treat the needy. So see how your faith is showing up in all these actions? And then we get to the kicker. And he says, your faith is going to show up in your ability to tame the tongue. You know what? It was easy to give that needy person a loaf of bread. maybe some trials were easier because we needed Jesus. We were like, oh, help us. We need help through this. Obeying. Okay, I know what I need to be doing. But my words, ooh, that's getting really difficult. That's getting really hard. But James is saying, if your relationship with Christ is for real, then your words are going to be different. So I thought, how do we take care of our heart? What do we do? Well, I thought of this statement, and maybe we need to stop asking Jesus into our hearts, and we need to ask Jesus to change our hearts. A lot of us probably have asked Jesus into our hearts, but we need him to change our hearts completely. Look at what Ezekiel 36:26 says. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So this is God's promise to us that he's going to give us a new heart and put a new spirit in us. And then he says, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Okay, that's it right there. The key. The key is I will put my spirit in you. Do you remember the last time I spoke to you was in October? And we were doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And what did I say? I said, the Holy Spirit is the key. And I held up like a brass key from my house somewhere. That was the key, that the Holy Spirit was the key. Well, here we are again. The Holy Spirit is the key. When Jesus puts his spirit in us, it changes our heart. Connection with the Holy Spirit is the key to everything. So when the Holy Spirit takes over, everything changes. See, the deal is you will not only be able to control your tongue, but suddenly the thoughts that are coming into your mind, that come out your mouth, those thoughts change. They become different because the Spirit is helping you be in alignment with God. And so your very thoughts completely change. See, if we have the not saying it part down, well, that's good, and we're showing some discipline. But if we get the not even thinking it part down, that's really good. Really, really, really good. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Look at Romans. Paul gives us a little bit more insight into how the Spirit does this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. What did we say in the beginning? That the power of life and death is in your tongue. It's in your mouth. In Proverbs, it said that. And so if your mind is on the flesh, then death is going to come out of your mouth. But if your mind is set on the Spirit, then life is going to come out. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. But for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it just cannot. But however, you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. See, when you received Jesus, his Spirit came to live inside of you. But what did we talk about in October? Sometimes we need to activate that Spirit living in us. We need for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and take control. We need to allow him to do the work that he can do, that he wants to do for us. This is such an amazing thing. And if you guys are in the marriage connection group, you've read this in your book. I came across it and thought it was amazing. The Holy Spirit moves us from an impossible situation into a position where it is impossible to fail. See, only God's Spirit can do that. Let's Let's read it one more time because it's that awesome. The Holy Spirit moves us from an impossible situation, taming our tongue, impossible. And it puts us into a position where it is impossible to fail. Let's think about this practically for a minute. Okay, what about that bad timing issue we talked about? If you are filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit you are in mind with Christ, you're going to know it's bad timing. You're going to recognize this is not the time that I should speak up. I should hold back. And God's going to give you the wisdom to know when the right timing is, or maybe if it never is, or maybe if you should start praying something specific about that situation. Think about the obstacle of, well, we're just oblivious to other people's feelings and personalities. When the Spirit is in us, that totally changes. In fact, we are overcome with thinking about that other person. We are putting that other person before us. And so you know what happens? No longer is it about our agenda or getting our point across or winning the argument. It's about the person. And the Holy Spirit helps us see what's going on with that person. And maybe we don't even need to talk about what we're talking about. We need to talk about something else. The Holy Spirit gives us insight and wisdom, and He will direct us in all things. So the final step in this is, I think that we can all agree we need the Spirit to do this work in us. And we open our hearts and we let God do that, but over time, we start struggling again. Well, the third thing is, in order to keep this going, we have to fill our hearts. We got to fill our hearts up. We fill ourselves every day, but probably not with things that help promote us speaking nice to each other. Movies that don't have like quippy statements are not that funny, right? So constantly we're looking at things that don't help us fill our hearts up properly. Listen to what Philippians 4:8 said. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see, that stuff, that's the soap, right? That's the spiritual soap. If you're thinking about true, noble, right, lovely, pure, admirable, what's going to come out? Jesus said, out of the overflow of our heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're filling it up with these good things, then that's what's going to come out. And the deal is, we have to purposefully put these things in us. God's word does this for us. And we need His Holy Spirit in us to help us keep silent. I know it's hard. It's so hard, especially when you're right and you know you're right. You want to speak. You want to speak up. You want to set the record straight, right? But let His Holy Spirit control you. Think about the power of being at work with your boss, or maybe even someone beneath you that you oversee, and having God's wisdom on whether or not you need to address an issue. You know, those we oversee, we don't always need to nitpick every single detail. Or maybe we need to hear from the Holy Spirit what's really going on with our employee. And maybe we can address a problem that really is the problem. Do you see the power in what God can do in our hearts? Let's take it maybe even further. What about our kids? If we're letting the Holy Spirit control us when we're disciplining our children, that discipline is going to be right. It's going to be true. It's going to be noble. It's going to be praiseworthy. and it's going to bring about progress in their life. See, we need the Holy Spirit. We need a pure heart so that we can help others. Our words are meant to bring life, not death. So this morning, as you bow your heads with me, and we just kind of close up in these last few minutes. First of all, is there anyone here that you would say, you know what, maybe I have been asking Jesus into my heart, but I haven't asked him to change my heart. And I really need God to come in. I need to give up my control and let Jesus come in and take over. Is there anyone like that in here? I know most of us are Christians, but okay. I just want to pray, first thing, that we get this right. Because the deal is, if we don't get our relationship with Jesus right, then we don't really have anywhere else to go from there. So, Father, this morning, you saw those of us that said, God, we need you to change our hearts. We've been inviting you in and trying to do the right thing, but it's just not enough. Father, forgive us. Forgive us of hasty words spoken. Come in and change us completely and totally. Have your way in us. Then the second thing that I want us to do this morning is I want us to, everyone, just stand to your feet. And if you just say with me, you know what? Yes, I am one of those people that probably needs to put a rein on my tongue. I want to just pray over us. You know what? Really, actually, I want to pray over all of us. Because it's not just about reigning in our tongue. I want us to walk out of here and be life givers. I want the words that come out of our mouth to be life-giving to our neighbor that doesn't know Jesus, to our coworker that doesn't know Jesus. I want people to go, you know what? Those folks from Grace Hill are always, they're encouraging, they're lifting me up. There's something there. Because that's really what it's all about. Father, this morning, take complete control of our mouths. Father, we are crying out to you for your wisdom and your guidance. Holy Spirit, we invite you in. Take complete control. Transform our words from death to life. Lord, I pray that this week we would have divine opportunities to speak life into those around us. Lord, make us life givers. Instead of spewing evil, I pray that we would spew life. Life. In the name of Jesus. Amen.